Hello and welcome to another Steelers Depot Monday live stream. I am Alex Kazor. As always, joining me is Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com, for our final Q&A live stream before the 2024 NFL Draft, which takes place in just over a week, Thursday, April 25th. So next time we talk with you guys in this format, we'll know who the Steelers selections are. As always, here to answer your questions for the next hour till 8 p.m. Eastern time. Dave, how you doing? Thanks for being here.
Thanks. Good to be here. Happy Monday to everybody. Got this Pens Nashville game queued up here in the background here. Need to hope for a win. They need to win out here, but excited to talk to everybody. I imagine we got some pretty good questions in here again today, and thank you everybody for following along.
For sure. So we'll dive on in. Just one announcement before we start answering your questions. I wrote in the community note on the channel, Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern time will be our second and final Walk the Mock live draft. I will do at least three rounds, maybe four. It's only going to be 1 minute between picks, so it shouldn't last too terribly late. I know it's a later one. It's only so many times available and based off of my schedule. So Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern time, I will go live. You guys can help me draft and make the Steelers picks. All right, diving on in, our first question comes from Brian Jonker. Says, assuming Brian Allen has talked to Khan, is he good enough? I don't need to be alarmed if pick 20 is not Jackson Powers Johnson. Do we need to trade ahead of the Bengals to make sure we get him? I'm not sure what it means by assuming Brian Allen, the veteran free agent center. I guess he's saying if that's their backup plan to sign a center if they don't get one. But that's an assumption that I don't know that you can make right now. In terms of the Bengals, we'll have to see. I mean, they have needs at D-tackle. They can look at Johnny Newton from Illinois. They can look at Byron Murphy from Texas. It's hard to really say for sure where they're going to go.
Yeah, look, we've been talking a lot about centers throughout this thing. This is always a guessing game when it comes to this, but does it feel like this team is poised to trade up at all?
Not in the first round. I think round two is where you could see the trade up. That's my read of it right now. I don't know if there's that one player worth trading up for, and with the depth at places like tackle, receiver, even center, I don't see that being the move.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We had that long discussion the other day about, you know, if they did move up in the second round, you know, potentially probably going to be either a center or a tackle, whichever maybe they didn't address in the first round there. Look, I think centers get pushed down again, and quite honestly, I think the Dallas Cowboys feel like that first potential spot maybe in the first round, where maybe one of those guys like Barton or JPJ might come off the board there. And obviously with the Steelers, if they stand pat at 20, it feels like they, you know, at least from trying to read the tea leaves of what other teams need and might go and all like that, it feels like they would have their choice of whatever, you know, center prospect they wanted at 20. But, you know, obviously things change in a draft. Going to be interesting to see what the Bears do with that ninth overall pick. And once again, you know, I think Barton, if the Steelers don't take him at 20, you know, Dallas has those needs at both guard and center. And Barton feels like he can play both those. But I guess what I'm saying here is at 20, at least, if they did decide to go center the Steelers at 20th overall, at least from my best guess, they should have their pick of the litter there.
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to read for sure. And the Bengals could take an offensive lineman. Even tackle, I won't rule out. I think the bigger need is interior offensive line right now. So we'll see. It's really hard to predict overall. Again, talent will get pushed down because of the strength at quarterback, receiver, etc. MC says, so you said a live stream to start at the same time as the Pens-Preds game. Well played, Alex. Well played. Yes, the intention all the way back years ago we started the live streams was just to match this up with the Pens game. No, just kidding, but appreciate you being here, MC. Also, if you guys could like this stream, subscribe to the channel, and check out the site, SteelersDepot.com. Would really appreciate that. Mike Edesso says, let's talk centers. Clearly, we have not had enough center talk, of course. How do you feel about the centers generally ranked 5 through 10? Seems like the most realistic route when you look at the early round value at other needs. Dave, hypothetically, if they don't grab one of the top three centers in this class in Frazier, Powers Johnson, and Barton, who are some options they could look towards later in the draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, even though it doesn't match up perfect with the measurables and all like that, it's going to be interesting when you get to the portion of the what the Steelers look for when it comes to centers, how he ranks within that. But Van Pan Granger, I think, becomes an option. Bordellini, I think, comes into play. I mean, you've talked a lot about the Miami kid early on through this process. It feels like it's the best of the rest, though, when you get, you know, you got a couple of guys that people have been, there've been buzz about, you know, possible conversion guys and all like that. But I mean, if you want to talk about guys that are what you would think as, you know, plug and play type guys, I mean, it really feels like it stops right there at Frazier, you know?
I think so, too. I think Mike Tomlin said as much, but if you entertain the idea of, let's just say, hypothetically, they don't get one of those names. You mentioned Van Pran Granger from Georgia, who got a lot of buzz early in the draft process, lack of length, some lack of coordination issues with him. How about Hunter Norzad from Penn State? You need somebody, if you're going to go later round center, smart, can step in right away. He went to Cornell and transferred up to Penn State. That's an option as well. You mentioned the guy I like, Matt Lee from the U. So there are center options. There is depth, but are you going to count on a third, fourth round pick to come in and be your day one? It's a risk, to say the least.
Yeah, and I guess Norzad kind of has a fourth round grade on him, along with, you know, I think Van Pran Granger's third to fourth in a lot of people's books. You got Bo Limmer Brugler's kind of got sandwiched in there, I think, at 6 overall on his list and all like that. But once again, it feels like it gets you know, if you come out of the second round and you don't have a center, you know, because of other needs that you have, it would feel like it'd be a little bit of a reach there in the third to take some of those guys after Frazier. So, you know, maybe you wait until the fourth at that point. But, you know, I would say the list kind of goes, it depends on what you think of Barton. Once again, I think he's best served really to play guard in the NFL personally. But if you consider him a center, I think it kind of goes Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier, you know, along the lines really with what Dane Brugler has, you know, toss up probably between Bordellini and Van Pran Granger, and then you get into Limmer and Norzad next on that list.
Right. So we'll see if that ends up being a relevant scenario where they're looking for the tier two, tier three center options. If they are, though, that is going to be, I think, an unnerving situation. Got a very generous $20 super chat from our friend Double HH, a frequent member of these live streams, says, thanks for making us non-college football fans aware of the fresh meat for the grinder. We need 4 quality starters from this draft. Also asked, when is draft day? That'll be day 1, Thursday, April 25th. It'll run day 2 on the 26th. That'll be rounds 2 and 3. And then finishing things out, rounds 4 through 7 and the undrafted free agent signings on Saturday. So HH, yeah, I think the really good point you make there is Pittsburgh will be counting on this rookie class in some pretty big ways, given all their needs. A lot of these names are going to have to step in and play right away.
Alex, real quick, the first, this team has, and I'll ask the chat this as well, too, get people to fire in on this. This team, obviously, as things stand right now, have, 5 picks in the first 119 picks of the draft. This team could use a center. This team could use a tackle. This team could use a wide receiver. This team could use a defensive lineman. This team could use a corner, preferably a slot guy. Let's go to the first 4 picks through the first. They had 4 in the first, 98. Of those 5 positions, which one would you be willing to cast aside to address so that you could address the other 4 in some form or fashion in the first 98? So you got center, you got tackle, you got wide receiver, you got a corner, and you got a defensive lineman. Which one of those positions would you throw out and be okay with not – with the Steelers not – if they stood pat with their picks now, not drafting with one of their first four picks, which right now fall in the first 98 picks of the draft?
It's a great question, Dave, and I've written about this, that some positions going to get – the raw end of this deal, the short end of the straw or stick, whatever the phrasing is. And A, I think it's partially dependent on just the value and the talent, what's there. The board may tell you a little bit about, you know, if a position just isn't as strong, if there's a run or just not as strong overall, you may have to bypass it. To me, I think you start with what are your non-negotiables, the stuff if you feel like you have to get somebody within the top, you know, three rounds, four picks. To me, that's wide receiver, center. I really would say slot corner, too. I know they could bring back Patrick Peterson, but I think those are the three. And then I think you kind of look at just what the board offers at tackle and then D-line. Again, you love to address them all, but I'll answer it that way, that those are the three, to me, that are musts, and the others, you know, are based off of board and talent.
Yeah, I would tend to throw out defensive line of those five positions, I think.
They're pretty good at doing it. They've not, you know, they always say they want to get younger and not have Cam Hayward play all the snaps, and yet that's what happens every single year. So again, no easy decisions. Again, something that will feel incomplete post-draft unless they trade down and pick up a pick, which I think is kind of ideal, but always easier said than done. All right, back up here to the chat, and just got a $5 super chat from Ryan Riffle, who says, wanted to say I appreciate you guys and all your draft coverage, but rookie Casey Hampton would have smoked old Big Ben. I think that was a question we had a little while back. Who would win in a foot race, Casey Hampton or Big Ben? So I wonder who would win today, Big Ben, or maybe they both just never make it the 40 yards.
I think Ben could probably take him.
You think? I think those knees might explode about 27 yards in. But I think Casey slimmed down a little bit, too. He's not quite big snack. He's medium snack now. All right, back to the questions. And thank you again, Ryan, for the super chat. Again, be sure to like this stream to bring in more of Steelers Nation. John Pennington says, hello, Dave and Alex. Why are the Steelers waiting to use the fifth-year option on Najee and making Warren wait to be paid? And should the team find replacements for Leal and Loudermilk? Dave, I'll let you answer the first half of that. Why are they waiting seemingly to the deadline, May 2nd, on Najee Harris?
I think they just want to see what's heard. The deadline is the deadline, you know? You don't know what might could happen before then. You don't know what kind of maybe off-season training injury or something like that. I mean, there's no real hurry in this. I don't think. I just think that it's something that they just – and who knows? Maybe they're trying to talk contract extension with him as well, too, ahead of that. It would be rare for the Steelers to do something like that. But, I mean, we have seen look what happened with the wide receiver in Philly today, you know. Mm-hmm. He just completed his third season, and his fifth year option was due as well too. I just think that's something that they prioritize with maybe getting focusing on after the draft and all like that. I just think it's, well, that's the date on the calendar. We don't have to officially make a decision before then. So, you know, why put it on paper right now?
Yeah, there's no rush. And, you know, listen, they got their hands full with draft talk right now. They can evaluate that after the fact. And I think that they will do that. All right, next question comes from more of a comment.
What's the earliest that they declared fifth year option on?
In team history? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they wait right up until the last second on those names, although it has even changed with the fifth-year option being fully guaranteed, which it wasn't for the majority of its existence. I'd have to look up exact dates. I mean, it's always generally, you know, around the deadline.
Have they ever done it before the draft? I'm trying to remember if they did it with Watt or not.
That's a good question. If there was a guy, it'd be a no-brainer like Watt, but I could not tell you top of my head, just because we knew it was all a formality, a precursor to that long-term deal. All right, while you look that up, I'll read a comment here from Jim McCarley, who says, I love the draft and the week or two following it. I do not like this time of year, the regurgitated. I assume it's malarkey can be mind-numbing, goes Steelers. I get it. It's the anxious waiting. I totally understand that, Jim, but coming soon will be the 2024 NFL draft. ODG Dorkman asking about centers beyond the top three, very similar to Mike's question earlier, so hopefully that answers it as well. Jonathan Mason, if you had to pick a non-Blues Clues first-round pick from the article you wrote, who is your best guess? And just by the way, for those on screen, seeing our What They Look For study on the tackles, I will have the wide receivers and who fits this year tomorrow on Tuesday for Steelers Depot. If you had to pick a non-Blues Clue, so somebody where Tomlin and Kahn did not attend their pro day, have the article up here right now about Duke's Graham Barton. I think it'd either be that or one of those West Coast offensive linemen. Let's say Fontenot were to fall, Fawaga, Powers Johnson. So which one would I pick? Made me choose one name. That's tough. I will go Graham Barton.
Well, because they haven't, or at least we don't think they brought him in yet, I would tend to go probably Jackson Powers Johnson because okay. They have brought him in. But I do feel, and I think we talked about this the other day, if there was somebody that was going to break that trend, that pro day trend, feels like it would be a West Coaster. Yeah,
that's a good point. You and I talked about this before we started the live stream. You know, if they don't bring Barton in and they weren't at his pro day in terms of Tomlin Kahn, we know Arthur Smith was. And I don't believe somebody in the chat maybe can answer, was Barton at the Senior Bowl? I know he did not participate. He was hurt. He accepted an invitation in December. I don't think he was there, but I didn't personally attend the Senior Bowl, so I could be wrong about that. Maybe somebody else will have some information there. So they had a formal with him at the Combine. We know that, but that's all the contact we know with, you know, the decision makers and Tomlin and Kahn. So that would break a lot of precedent, but still time for a visit, and we'll see if he comes in this week.
It looks like April 28th, 2020 was the date that they officially exercised a fifth-year option on T.J. Watt, and I believe that was after the draft that year. The draft in 2020 was April 23rd to 25th. So, I mean, if they wait on a guy like T.J. Watt until after the draft, I mean, it was something that was really a foregone conclusion, then I don't think there's reason to really question why they haven't exercised the option on Najee Harris yet.
Yeah, that's a great point. And a quick Pens update for those not watching. Pens have taken the lead. They were up 1-0.
Right.
Michael Bunting, a little nice scrum in front of the net between the legs goal. So what a pickup Michael Bunting has been. Let's see if the Pens can hold it. They don't always do that. All right, back to your questions here. Kevin says, evening all. Thank you to the nearly 100 people here in the live stream. Again, Thursday, Walk the Mock live stream, 9 p.m. Eastern time. A lot of post-draft coverage as well. Josh Miller says, which first-round selection has been more volatile to predict, 2024, 2023, or 2019? I think we'll look back on this years and think it was more obvious than we thought, given the limited number of pro days. Good question. I felt more confident last year where they would go. In 19, we knew they loved Devin Bush. The question was just, would they trade up for him? So it was obvious in the sense of we knew they could go up and get Devin Bush. And if they didn't, though, I really did not know what direction they were going to go. But I think their mindset was, we're going to go up there and draft this guy.
Yeah, and we had that conversation, I think, yesterday about, or the day before, about, I felt last year it was probably going to be Broderick or Joey Porter Jr., and then obviously the Najee year that felt kind of obvious, especially heading down into the final couple of weeks there. Geez, I'm trying to go back through my head. I mean, we had a lot of discussions about Devin Bush that year. It's so hard to kind of remember what the thought process. You say, you know, we'll be having this conversation next year, whoever the pick is this year, thinking, oh, you remember how obvious that was with or with not? Look, it really does feel like Mims to me right now at this point. Now I have the ability and have in the past of talking myself in and out of who I think the pick will be in the final 7 days of the draft process here. But I mean, look, I think the big question is will we see the streak of the pro day streak finally come to an end, you know, because of there being potentially a few West Coasters involved. And it is hard to gauge what they really think about Barton. You know, A, where they maybe think he's going to go, what they think he can do. Do they really think he's going to be a day one plug and play center? You know, all the conversations that we've had along those lines. But I mean, for obvious reasons, the odds right now, at least the odds makers, have it heavily, have offensive linemen the heavy favorite, some sort of offensive lineman to be the Steelers' first round pick. And I probably most of you in the chat listening to this right now would probably agree. You expect it probably to be an offensive lineman. So it feels like it would be a little bit of an upset if it isn't. Now, offensive lineman includes obviously center and tackle, and you got several candidates within that. I tell you, if you look at some of the odds as well related to individual players, you know, Vegas for the most part don't think a few of those guys are going to be on the board, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think offensive line is the quote-unquote easy part. The hard part is who, and to get more specific than that in terms of position, tackle, center, and then, of course, the individual name. That's where it gets tricky this year.
They took that goal off the board.
I don't know why. They say in the crease and contact with the goalie? It was like nothing there.
I guess goaltender interference is what they called.
That's ridiculous.
I don't have the volume up.
Yeah, I don't know. Bunting looked totally clean.
But they just scored it back.
Yeah, they just scored again. The Crosby? That's Crosby?
I don't have the sound up. I'm just watching you.
All right. Well, we'll have your Pens update and your Steelers questions all in
one. Welcome to the Penguins Depot live stream.
Making a switch here. All right. Back to the questions. Dave D., thanks for the live stream. Again, if you think the team trades one way or the other in the first round, do you think they move up or down? Khan seemed unafraid to move around in his first draft. You're right. He moved up and down 17-14 to get Broderick Jones, and then trading down in the third round to pick up a fourth round pick that he gave up to move up for Broderick Jones. I mentioned this kind of earlier, I guess, but I think trade down. I'm not going to guarantee anything, you know, up or down, depending on how the board breaks. But I think a trade down is more likely given their needs. And I just don't see that one name that shines above the rest. You know, again, I think when you have depth at tackle and receiver, center, positions of interest, you know, last year the tackle depth was not nearly as strong. They needed a tackle. There's a more finite number of people available. That creates a urgency to go up. So I'll say trading down is much more likely.
History is just history, and that's all it is. And streaks are just streaks until they're broken. But the last time the Steelers traded down in the first round of any draft was in 2001, 23 years ago, when they moved down from 16th overall to 19th overall to ultimately select Casey Hampton, who just talked about a little bit earlier there. But I'll tell you this, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to see Khan trade down a couple of spots in that first round and pick up, I don't know, what would you pick up in that? A third?
Third? Yeah, I think if you get a third, that'd be ideal.
That would not hurt my feelings at all, especially if, say, you know, three or four of those guys that you know, you kind of have slotted to potentially go to them or still on the board at that point. You don't want to trade down and trade yourself out of the realm of getting a guy that you want. However long that list is, three or four guys that, hey, we're willing to go down here, but we don't want to miss out on one of these X amount of guys. I wouldn't imagine that list of X amount of guys is very long too. I'd say probably three or four guys at most there. So I don't think they're going to trade up. So in the first round. So I guess if forced to choose, if they moved at all in the first round, I would predict down, but we'll be writing about that in a separate post.
Sure. Absolutely. But I think if they move down to get a third, you can't go down three spots and get a third round pick back. You might get a four the way that Pittsburgh gave up a four last year. But if you're going to get a third, you got to move down, I would say, at least five spots, but probably more than that.
I don't know. Omar Khan got a second for Chase Claypool.
Yeah, well, Chicago's only at 1-9. They don't have anything after that. So you can't swindle Ryan. I mean, you never know if there's an urgency, if somebody really loves a quarterback, but I just think usually to trade down and get that kind of compensation, it's going to require a larger move than what Pittsburgh usually does. But new regime, things could change. All right, next question comes from Patrick Donovan. If we draft Barton and center doesn't work, could we try Daniels and Barton at guard? It's a lot of steps ahead for a guy that's not a Steeler yet. I don't think there's an appetite to play James Daniels at guard. Omar Khan mentioned that during the combine, and kind of
center. You mean?
Or excuse me, yeah, playing center, essentially ruled that out. So I know he's got the background there, but has not played center in quite some time. I'd rather let him just kind of stick at guard and continue to progress and grow.
And I've made my thoughts known on Barton. I think he's primed to be a very good guard in the NFL. So, I mean, obviously, I think he can play center as well, too. But do you waste guys 6'5 that can move like him? Do you waste those guys on center? You don't see many, like we said in the podcast the other day, you don't see many 6'5, 6'6 centers in the league.
Sure. You know? Pouncey was tall, not quite as tall. He was at 6'4.5. But, I mean, there's a little Pouncey vibe to Barton in terms of just their size and movement. I do think it's interesting that Barton's not getting much talk about guard, just generally. I don't know why he couldn't move to guard. I know he has played center, and that's why people kind of fall back on it, but there's nothing I think that could prevent him from playing guard at the NFL level.
If a team drafts him to play guard, I won't let everyone soon forget about it.
There'll be a blimp over your Las Vegas Metroplex letting us all know.
And look, I mean, once again, is there a reason people can talking about him potentially moving to center? Yes. And obviously he did play center his freshman year at Duke. But man, you just look the way he moves and you look at this class of guards isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Every team needs two guards. And man, I just, if you had a need for a guard and you're in that range of 20 to 32, and if that's one of your top needs and he's still on the board, I don't know why you don't pull the trigger on him and do that, you know?
Sure. For sure. Good article up on screen from our Ross McCorkle looking at snap to throw times at Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Those two had the longest snap to throw times of any quarterback in the NFL last season and among the most sack quarterbacks as well. So good article there for you guys to check out. Carlos says, hello, thank you for the Q&A, the podcasts, and all the amazing content. Thank you so much, Carlos. Do you guys also feel this is the weirdest draft ever, or is it just me? I do think it's one of those things where, as Dave mentioned earlier, we kind of say that every single year. I don't think this draft is weird. I think for Pittsburgh, it's a little, to me, more difficult determining, you know, who they're going to take than maybe past years. I think there's, you know, just the draft largely, you kind of have, you know, quarterbacks will go early. We know who the number one overall pick is going to be. We know who some of the top non-quarterbacks will be in terms of the receivers and Harrison, Neighbors, etc. So I don't find this one particularly weird, to be honest with you.
I don't find it weird. I just find it, I want five positions in the first three picks.
Yeah, it's the 8 pounds in a 5 pound bag, Mike Tomlin phrase.
It would feel much better if this team had gotten a better option at wide receiver to this point, to kind of at least have something. And look, say what you will about Van Jefferson and who was the other one, the Eagles kid?
Quez Watkins.
Yeah, Quez Watkins. Those guys, I don't view properly, you know, getting placeholders within there. I'm talking about something a little bit better than that. Had this team done it, and maybe they will, I don't know. We still got, you know, a week or so to go there. That, and had they gone out and just gotten somebody with a pulse, you know, that could man the center position or give you a little bit more confidence than Herbig there. That, it to me, it would make this thing a little bit messier because basically what Alex said, I'm trying to get 12 pounds in an 8 pound bag here, because I find myself after pick one thinking, all right, what direction do I go? And then what direction do I go the next couple of picks?
What do I leave out?
Right. What position do I leave out? And oh, by the way, if I wait on this position until that fourth pick, what's left that kind of matches that, you know, that could fill a need in there on top of it. So, yeah, I don't find it so much weird. I just wish that maybe they had one or two less what feel like kind of immediate needs in this thing, you know?
I agree. I mean, their free agency got off to such a hot kind of crazy start, and then it got really quiet from there. And so that did surprise me about, I thought Pittsburgh would do a little bit more to add starters in this free agent class. And after the quarterbacks and Queen, and there were others, of course, Elliott, Johnston, but it kind of did, it quieted up quicker than I thought it would. All right, next question will come from Tyler DiGiacomo, who says, great stream as always, gents. Thank you, Tyler. Alex, when are you starting your new Out of the Park 25 Pirates series? Eventually, is my answer. Has not started yet. The same time you start your Philly series. That's my buddy from college. And so neither of us, we both bought the game and have not touched it since it came out. So that is draft season for you.
Have you ever won the World Series with that, Alex?
I have not. I'm like the Pirates in real life, just miserably getting outspent by the Dodgers. I've never won in all my years playing Out of the Park. Yeah, it's on the list. It's on the list. All right, next question comes from more of a comment.
When I was a kid, that used to the big game for us, that was kind of stats and all like that was Stratomatic. I don't know how many people in the chat are old enough to remember that, but that was the big analytical baseball game before there were video games. You actually had to roll dice and create your own box scores and all like that. But anyway, enough about old man Dave.
Well, a quick sidebar. The company that makes Out of the Park was briefly working on an American football game, and I was going to buy that for you, Dave. And I told you one of two things will happen if I buy this game for you. You'll play it once, never play it again, or it will consume and ruin your life because it's so in-depth and like just so like I think you would like Out of the Park because it's very in-depth. You don't actually have to swing the bat or like have that kind of skill set. It's all very financial. Like you have to have your budget and you know, be mindful of those types of things. So I think it's a game you would actually truly enjoy.
I think the last game that I was addicted to, especially video games, was Pitfall on Activision for the Atari. And about that time, the old man told me to go get. I had to go get a job. You know.
And so, I know none of those words: Pitfall, Atari, Activision. That's all Greek to me.
Yeah, I just not enough days, not enough hours to go around and watching tape and keeping track of the Steelers and talking to these fine people. So,
all right, back to the Steelers here. Great question from Captain Spartan 04, and maybe that'll. I don't want to give away my mock draft, which I have not even begun to finalize for the final crack at it. But he says, outside of the first round, who's a guy y'all feel really good that they'll be a Steeler? To me, to him, it's Mason Smith, the DN. From LSU. Who do you think, who feels like a Steeler post round one?
Yeah, because of how little Carl Dunbar got around and because there is a depth need there and because of him probably being a guy that will at least fall out of the first two rounds, maybe even out of the first three rounds or at least later in the third round, he certainly does feel like a Steeler. Yeah, outside of the first round. Yeah, it would be hard to go against that. If Dunbar had went other places or if Grady had went a couple other places, maybe we'd be talking about a corner in here. Man, I really love Ricky Pearsall out of Florida as well, too. I just wonder where he's going to go. He kind of feels like he could be a Steeler. I mean, who else in here? Past the first round.
I'll give two real quick. Max Melton from Rutgers.
Yeah.
For the slot, ball skills, special teams ability. And of course, he came in for a visit. And then Travis Glover from Georgia State, based on all their interest in a smaller school player. All right. A good question for the chat. Who do you guys, since this is our last live stream before the draft, who do you guys think will become a Steeler? If you had to call your shot the way that we talked about Benton last year, just felt like we feel like they're going to find a way to get Keanu Benton. Who do you guys think is that name this year for Pittsburgh? All right. Next question comes from Andrew Woodall. Says, last year as the Pens scored again. All right. We're gonna keep the live stream on the whole Pens game, Dave. I think we have to right now. last year after the draft, Andy Weidel talked about the importance of building through the trenches. Do you think Weidel's influence lifts O-line, center, and D-line picks higher in this draft and pushes wide receiver, cornerback down? Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say in a very broad sense. Again, Weidel is not a decision maker. I think he helps set the board, which is important, but he is not making one of those final decisions. But I think just, you know, the way that Mike Tomlin's spoken about it, you hire Arthur Smith, who's a run-oriented type of guy. We know the type of team Pittsburgh has been trying to be post-Ben and wants to be in the future. So I think all that combined makes that a fair assessment.
Yeah, and I think Omar Khan has mentioned, you know, once or twice during this offseason about how important the trenches are.
Oh, yeah. There was a comment from Tomlin during league meetings. I forget what it was, but it was essentially saying, like, you know, we're a team that's going to you know, we hired Arthur Smith because we want to build from our bigs out. And that, as much as anything, tells you where their head is at and why they've looked at a million offensive linemen. All right, next question comes from, and David O is here in the chat asking you guys to please like this stream. We would certainly appreciate that. Also, cool story here from Troy edge rusher Javon Solomon about his meeting with Mike Tomlin. You guys can check out. Let's see what else we have here. John, how many teams besides the Steelers need a center, and would we use one of our picks to move up in front of those who also want one in the second? Well, I'm glad you asked, John. Dave, you did a great breakdown on all the center depth charts across the league, and you've talked about what teams might also be looking for a center.
Yeah, if I can find what I did with that post.
I'll pull it up here somewhere. I think it's – oh, what did I say?
What's the title of it?
I had some kind of creative titles. These four teams could steal Pittsburgh's top prospect, something like that. I'll pull it up here somewhere.
These four teams could steal. Yeah, and look, I mean, this is just trying to remove the bias aspect of you could probably add three more teams to this list of four that, you know, would you be stunned if they drafted a center, you know, in the first two rounds. But I think trying to look at it realistically, along with, you know, kind of in the peripheral, looking at those other teams' other needs and looking at picks where they currently pick. And once again, you don't know how these teams are going to move around the board. It's going to, once again, I think the Bears in that number nine pick, what happens if they trade out of there? Because Chris Morgan, it seems like Chris Morgan shows up all over the place. And if he's out west at Jackson Powers Johnson, pro day, if I remember correctly. But just my takeaway, the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Packers, and Buccaneers jumped out to me at four teams that really seemed to have a very legitimate chance of selecting a center somewhere in the first two rounds and ahead of the 51st overall selection there. Man, when you look at the Cowboys and you look at that depth chart and not only at center but at guard as well too, they're hurting. When you look at the Buccaneers, I mean, all they got, and I liked Robert Haynes going out. I thought he was a guy that could potentially play some center in the NFL, but you know, I could see them upgrading, and they own the 26th overall pick. How comfortable are the Green Bay Packers with Josh Myers entering the final year of his contract? Could they get away with him one more year at center? I suppose, but I mean, I think that's another one. But I mean, if you just look at pick 24, 25, and 26 is the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Buccaneers. And makes you kind of wonder if someone like a Graham Barton might come off the board there. And then also, I think I mentioned, what was the other team? The Chargers, was it? That's another team that you kind of wonder what they're going to do over the ball there as well, too. Now, you, once again, you could get into, you know, the Bears have kind of tried to patch the hole a little bit with Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton there. They, you know, they traded for Bates, but they don't have a lot invested with him money-wise, but they only have two picks in the first two rounds, 1 and 9. Now, could they trade that 9 away and move down and pick up, you know, some other picks and get into the fray at center? That's quite possible there. The Cardinals, I mean, that you know, they have what, 4, 27, and 35. I kind of feel like they might stand pat, but once again, trying to go through, you know, each team's higher priority needs and that kind of, and you know, talking about the Chargers, they've got Bradley Bozeman because it sounds like Corey Lindsey is going to retire, and they don't have a lot tied up in Bozeman there. So, you know, my feeling, and you know, it's just a rough deep dive into this, is that the Chargers, Cowboys, Packers, and Buccaneers, and once again, that kind of murderer's row there, starting at the Cowboys pick, is going to be really, really fun to watch. Now, once again, as I said kind of earlier in this show, if the Steelers wanted to go center at 20 overall, you know, I feel the odds are pretty good that they'd have their choice there. But if they don't make the pick there at center, then it's going to be interesting to watch to see. You know, that's why Alex and I came up with kind of the scenario is, you know, could they get the situation in the second round where, let's say, a Graham Barton and a JPJ's off the board, Penn scored again.
You're ahead of me.
And if those two go off the board there, might they get in a situation where they have to think about maybe trading up in the second round to get a guy like Frazier? So, but that's the long and short of that post. It's, I mean, I spent a lot of time deep diving this, and it'll be interesting to see how close I come on this. Do I think all four of those teams of the Chargers, Cowboys, Packers, and Buccaneers are going to come away with a center before 51? No. I think the odds, I just think historically with the position tells you that that's unlikely to happen. But they do seem like the team's most needy along with the Steelers.
And that was the Dave Bryan power play through that Penn's goal. We're going to still stop the stream around 8, but I'll just leave the live stream up because we can't stop streaming apparently. 3 goals here for the Penguins. Yeah, I think Dallas is that number one team to watch. Now they're picking behind Pittsburgh in the first round and in the second round. But at 24, they need a center. They got nothing there. They lost Biadasz to Washington. They need a center as much as anything. They need a running back, too, but there's no running back worth taking in the first round. What about Cincinnati, though? I mean, is that a team that could snipe Graham Barton the way that they took William Jackson right ahead of Pittsburgh all those years ago? I know they have Ted Karras, but he's, what, 31 last year of his contract? Not that great of a center. I could see Barton being in the mix.
Well, Karras is set to earn a base of $5.8 million in 2024. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Or left guard, because I think they got Cordell Volson at left guard and Cam Hayward taking it to him before.
Well, I mean, it gets messy. I mean, I could start on next year's draft right now and still come away with a lot of questions by deep diving this. But yeah. Just what are you going to do? Look, I still stand by. Okay, if they need a guard, then they should go get Barton if he's there.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility that has to be acknowledged. Will they do it? I don't know. There's D-tackles and other positions of need and other talents, but I'll be watching the Bengals.
It feels like it gets less messy with them if they were to take Barton and draft him as a guard and leave Karras at center and then worry about what happens after this year of what Barton's, you know, whether or not Barton needs to move to center or stay at guard. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, another Penn's review. What is going on? Mm. I don't know the outcome of this one, but point is, I'll be watching the Bengals closely when it comes to interior offensive linemen. All right, next question comes from, and Low Sauce is saying that Barton did not attend the Senior Bowl. So confirmation there. I did not think he did, and so it's good to get that information. Thank you, Low Sauce. David Kapoor, is Blue's Clues a reference to the 1996 children's TV show? I still don't understand the origin of the name. I don't either. I don't know how he came up with Blue's Clues. It is a nod to the show.
It's the old children's show on Nickelodeon there.
But how did we... Who used that first?
I think not that I watched the show, but I knew about it. I mean, it got enough play that... when did that show debut? In like the 90s or something like that? I mean, I was already running to the streets by then.
You know? Yeah, so, watching a lot of Blue's Clues back then.
I might have watched it high. I don't know.
Okay. All right, we've taken a turn. Also, they took off the goal for the Pens. This is ridiculous. They've had 2 goals disallowed so far, and they're up 2-0. All right.
But I figured you kind of got the reference to that, Alex.
No, I 100% did. I was thinking, how did we first use that as the substitute for the Steelers trends and predictions? Just I watched the show, but I didn't know how we came up with it as our term to use to describe Steelers picks and their tracking. Okay. All right, Thomas, outside of all the great draft articles on Depot, what sites do you go to for NFL draft coverage? PFF, Brugler's Beast, others. We love the Beast from Dane Brugler. That is the draft Bible, as far as I'm concerned. So we do our own homework, of course, but I use Brugler a lot for some informational gathering.
Yeah, I look, Dane, you know, Dane does his homework, you know. Mm-hmm. And as much tape as we try to watch and our guys watch, I mean, throughout and all, there's only so much tape that you can watch and watch properly. And by properly, I mean at least 2 to 3 games of a prospect. And a lot of times, you know, you're You're still at the mercy of some TV tape, even in 2024. I mean, we do get a lot of all 22 college tape and have that. But, I mean, there's only so many prospects that each one of us can thoroughly do. Now, with Dane, I mean, that's his job. You know, from draft cycle to draft cycle, he has so much time invested. I would imagine by now he gets probably almost any all 22 game that he needs through whatever sources or whatnot that he has. It just, and then, you know, you just look alone at the biographical, some of the background stuff, you know, that he has on these prospects just shows that he's done his homework on them, and talking about stuff off the field along those lines. And he always has all the hard to find ages and things along those lines. So, yeah, I mean, I love using him as a sounding board, especially when it comes out 2 weeks before the draft. Trying to read as much of that as I can, especially biographical aspects of some of these guys and all like that. Now, I'll tell you, back up until a couple years ago, what I really, really liked reading this time of year was the Gil Brandt, like, Hot 150 or something along. I think for a while it was called the Hot 100 or 150. But, man, you want to talk about somebody that had a good pulse on at least where guys were going, you know? I mean, I did all those studies of the year over the years of how far off he had in that 150 of who were the ones that he was just the furthest off of where their actual draft position went. And there weren't, you know, there weren't many when you get in, you know, got through the second round that weren't actually either second. You know, the studies are up on the site. If people have followed the site long enough, they've seen those over the years. But I like looking at that just from the to get an idea of where some of these guys, you know, because you have those guys. Is this guy a second rounder or is he a fourth rounder? Mm-hmm. You know, where does this guy really, you know, what does maybe the league think about these guys? And I used to use that along with, you know, the Dane Brugler. But yeah, I've used the Dane Brugler, you know, beast for years and years and years, and we'll continue to. I think he does a great job with it.
He does, and of course we would be remiss to not mention Dave T. Thomas and his insights and what he would offer to the podcast, and also just some materials he would give us, information, PDFs, things like that as well. And so obviously miss him and his contributions around this time of year.
Oh yeah, Dave used to send us. I mean, because I mean, he had, you know, he wrote scouting reports for the league, obviously, for years and years, and then, you know, up until about, I don't know, a year before passed away. I mean, he'd send us, you know, files and files of Word scouting reports on these players, and those were fantastic to use as a resource along with the tape and these other draft guides and all, for sure. I miss Dave, for sure.
Me as well. I know many people do as well. About 10 minutes left here. Be sure to get your final Steelers questions in. We'll try to go rapid fire at the end and answer as many as possible. Thank you guys so much for being here tonight. Really good, consistent turnout. Mike says, I think it's safe to remove Penix from your top 30 visits list. There's zero chance he's going to fit the Steelers in on his visit tour at this point. It's looking unlikely, but he said that he had a visit schedule. It wasn't even a report and just some kind of quote-unquote random person. It was from Penix. So could that change? We'll see. We'll put it on there until we know that, you know, he has not come in for a visit. All right, Jason Williams. Hey, my guys. Hey, Jason. I don't remember, but did we draft Pouncey as a need, or was he just that good of a player not to pass up? That was a need, right? They had nothing at center in that draft.
Well, I mean, they had the veteran that we talked about not too long ago, but he, was it Hartwig? I can't remember. It was one of the two, but yeah, I mean, he was up there in age, and you knew that they potentially needed a future center. And then the big thing once he was immediately drafted was he going to beat him out right there at the start of the camp? And he, you know, obviously did. And they ended up releasing the veteran in that situation there. But I mean, that's been, I mean, when was that? 2010?
Yeah, it was 2010. Yep, 2010. Yeah. Yep. Let's see. David Kapoor. I wish we could get Marvin Harrison Jr. somehow in addition to a center. Too many needs. Yeah, that guy will be off the board by probably pick 5 or 6 at the latest. Could go forward to Arizona. Could the Cardinals trade down? That's maybe kind of where the draft starts in terms of where what non-quarterback will get taken. All right, Mike, as we sit here 10 days away, who do you guys want to be the pick realistically at 20? I'll have an article on that. I don't have maybe one particular name. I kind of know where I'm leaning, but I'll save that for an article sometime next couple of days. Agent Bull, does it feel the Steelers are bringing in more first-round prospects for visits than past years? Could this be a response to Tomlin and Kahn not going to as many pro days? Interesting thought. I would have to look at the numbers. You know, typically the first round selections were not coming in. The guy they would ultimately select usually did not come in for a visit, or often did not come in for a visit. So you may have something there that would track if they're going to go to fewer pro days, bring in more first round candidates, but I would have to look at the data.
Yeah, it would take a deep dive in that going back the last couple years.
Not a bad idea for a study if things kind of get slow, though. That's a good thought there, Agent Bull. And Russ Obenstein is here. Glad you are here, Russ. No worries about being a little late. Appreciate you being here and hope you are doing well. Josh Miller would love to say Mike Sanders still, but he feels too rich for where he'll be taken. I think that was a response to the who do you think feels like a Steeler. Sanders still, I think, certainly does. But, yeah, I don't think Pittsburgh's in a sweet spot to get Mike Sanders still.
Man, that's another kid that you turn on his tape, man, and he plays bigger than his size, and, you know, a two-time captain, and what was he, a former wide receiver, had to switch from wide receiver, and got the ball skills, and there's, you know, other than his overall height, and, you know, arm length, and you know, look, he's a slot, he's a guy that's, you know, not going to be able to play outside for you. But there's not a lot not to like over him. The question is somebody on Twitter even had, you know, mostly going back to several of the top slot guys in the NFL over the last couple of years, that a lot of those guys ended up getting pushed down in the drafts anyway. You know, and here's the thing. You get these last 2 weeks of the pre-draft process. You hear all this. This guy's underrated. Mm-hmm. This guy's getting pushed up. This guy is not going to go lower than here, you know. And, you know, how much of that is truth? How much is that, you know, just people pushing things? You know, we love Jim Nagy, but Jim Nagy's always going to push those Senior Bowl guys, you know.
Sure, sure. I mean, the number of times you're going to hear the phrase, he won't get past Team X or pick Y, it's a million times from now until Thursday. But not all that will come true. It just... Again, you can't have 50 guys going to the top 35 picks.
I mean, if Sanders still was 5'10 and 3'8 and not 5'9 3'8, I mean, that would certainly help his cause, you know?
Yeah. Now, he could be a late first round pick still, early second rounder. Again, just kind of an area where Pittsburgh, I don't think, will be able to get him. Reginald Rivers, good question. If we got too many needs, why would we move up and lose our top four 100th picks? I think ideally, if you could send, you know, a fourth round pick to go up in the second round, still have your two thirds, that'd be important. But you just look at it and say, you know, if you don't have a center, what is your backup plan? Can maybe mitigate some of the other positions a bit easier, receiver, D-line, than you could, you know, not having that center and not having your guy in the middle? So nothing stops you from trading down at a later pick, as Omar Khan did last year, trading up in round one, then trading down in round three. So you can do a lot of maneuvering to, you know, send capital and then get capital back. So I don't want to say it's one move and one move only. But again, you just sit there and say, if there's that urgency to get that really premium position you have nothing at, it may be worth it still.
And how many guys are going to get cut after the draft, you know?
Yeah, how many starting caliber centers? Are you talking about just any, you know, receiver?
I'm just talking around the league. Every year around the league, you see a couple of guys after the draft, some veterans that you know, a lot of people maybe had penciled in and making a team around the NFL end up going on the street, you know?
Or signing. Again, the compensatory period ends the Monday after the draft, and Pittsburgh the last couple of years has been signing DBs in particular, DeMonte Casey in 2022, and then Keanu Neal in 2023. Could have Patrick Peterson come back? You know, again, Pittsburgh does not care about the comp situation in terms of getting comp picks. You're not in the mix for that. But just in general, free agency kind of starts back up post-draft. Got a very generous $20 super chat, and I apologize if I mispronounced the name, but I really do appreciate the generous donation here from Tin Rayo with a $20 super chat. Says, been listening to you guys for more than 10 years, and you have really made me love and understand football. This is a small token of appreciation from me. So, man, we really appreciate that. That's very kind for you to say, and just thankful you've been listening for so long.
If you've been listening to me for 10 years, I need to be paying you $20.
You may be entitled to financial compensation, but we thank you for the super chat very, very much. All right, a couple more questions. We'll kind of go through rapid fire and get through as many questions as we can. Our last live stream, again, check out the site, draft day, draft weekend. Dave, you know how crazy it is. It's just wall-to-wall coverage. We don't sleep. We are just drafted 100% of the time. I'll have my final Walk the Mock live stream Thursday, this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And final mock drafts will be coming out. My final mock draft should come out next Tuesday, I plan on. So who am I going to pick? No idea. But that'll be the date the final mock draft drops.
Dave, Jason, my health is good, Jason. I just went. I had to go to the doctor today and had to bleed for him again. And I'll wait next week. I get results of all those tests. But I have not felt this good. Told my wife on the way home. I have not felt this good in probably 10, 12 years and all like that. And the only thing I got to do is every year I got to have a lung scan right now because of all the years of doing things that I wasn't supposed to do. There's a spot that they're watching there. But as of right now, I'm doing good and I'm not expecting any issues from the blood results coming back from today.
And we are definitely thrilled and happy to hear that. Dave D, from a broad sense, what positional group that is hit on or potentially not discussed as much is the deepest in this draft? New wide receivers getting a lot of buzz, but I like the cornerback class a fair bit on tape. Yeah, I think corners got depth. It may lack some of the real top heaviness that other positions do, but you're asking about depth, and I think there is. I don't think it's the deepest position. There is some depth there, not as strong as I think last year was even a bit deeper overall. Again, not top heavy. I think receiver is the deepest class along with offensive tackle. To get this many tackles, especially left tackles, right tackles, different body types and positions, you just don't see very often.
I tell you, if they can get, especially when it comes to some of them slot guys we've been talking about most of this offseason here, Max Melton or Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky, there's some nice slot options for sure in this class, and it's a good year. You know, we'll see whether or not they land one of them here, but is this one of the better classes in the last couple of years when it comes to kind of slot-specific guys?
That's a good question. I can't think back to particularly some of the other slot.
I mean, Renardo Green. Yeah. There's some good looking prospects in here that could play slot in the NFL. Yeah. You
even
know?
DeGene could play slot. So yeah. I think he can play all over. The kid from Iowa who's, you know, potentially a later first round selection. But I would still say tackle. I'll give the nod to tackle over receiver because receiver's always deep because of the prolific passing game. It's always going to be pretty deep, but tackle is unusually deep compared to most years.
I don't think it's a very good tight end class overall. The running backs are top heavy with a couple of nice ones. The safety class is kind of meh.
Mm-hmm.
The off the ball's got a little bit. The off the ball, maybe my view of the off the ball linebackers as opposed to when I first started diving into this year's class, I feel a little better about the class, but it's not a showstopper. And the edges the edge group feels kind of really top heavy this year. And then defensive line, especially for what the Steelers, you know, look for, there are very few that fit, you know, exactly kind of what they look for in that body type. And that's been the case for the last several years, though.
Sure, it's tough to find that guy. Yeah, I think deep classes are receiver, tackle. I think center, I would call that deep overall. I think the classes lacking, you know, talent and depth, relatively speaking, are safety, off-ball linebacker, and guard, I think, are pretty weak. Running back, too. I think maybe only one running back will go in the top two rounds, potentially. So it's a relatively, I think, weak class there. A couple more questions. Jason, do you think we will draft a true center or someone who can play center? Don't want to go down the whole Kendrick Green saga. We'll see. I think they're open to all those top names there. But Frazier has played center. Paris Johnson has not started a ton of games, but he's primarily played center. And Barton would be more of a conversion type there. He played it in his freshman season. So I don't know, to be honest with you.
Less than 1,000 career snaps at center for in fact, it's less than 900, I think, for JPJ. The 1 year, and a couple other snaps mixed in. I think in some in a couple other seasons for him. Obviously, Frazier has what I write on
over
him
2000. Like 20s,
well over 2,000 mm-hmm. too. And then you have Barton, who's got 400 something in like six games in 2020.
Right, right. Ken Poman 1 says, are we overlooking Cordarrelle Patterson getting a lot of snaps as a big slot at receiver? I think they'll move him around, but I getting a lot of snaps is too strong of a phrase for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, can you do some things with him? Absolutely, you can. I just don't think that he's a guy that you want to count on, you know, 30 snaps, 20 snaps, whatever, a game of doing that. I mean, he's brought in to return kicks and, you know, have some fun with here and there. Will he get snaps on offense? Yes. It's barring injury to those top two running backs, probably not as much as what maybe some people might have in their head. Now, I will advocate to get him on the field in certain situations along with, you know, another running back or something, and make teams kind of have some fun with. We talk about the pony every year. You could have some teams declare with some defensive personnel packages that way, and then you could have some fun with shifting Cordell out. You know, those kind of things. But even if you did that, I think barring injury, there's still going to be a kind of a seal, kind of a built-in ceiling with how often you can get him on the field for some offensive snaps.
Yeah, he's still going to be a running back. Imagine he'll be in the running back rooms and go through practice as such. And so he won't be running, you know, traditional route tree much. And he came out as a receiver, as you pointed out, but he moved to running back. So can they do some of it? Yeah, a little motion and split him out sometimes. Have some fun, as you said, but not going to be your really true slot receiver. Brian Jonker, tackles could be taken in the third round and take half a season or a season to develop him because we have two starting tackles. Yeah, I mean, again, as much as I would love to move Broderick Jones over, you could run it back with Moore and Jones, and you have two defined guys as opposed to center where there's nobody, receiver opposite Pickens, nobody, slot corner, nobody, etc. So that is a possibility. If they wait, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame could be a name on their list.
Right, the two guys that we kind of identified coming out of your study, if they didn't get one in the first, would be probably Fisher and Roger Rosengarten, right?
Yeah, those two, I think, would make a lot of sense for the Steelers based on their team needs and scheme and interest. Let's see, what else do we have here? Brian also says, how on earth could you think receiver is a need for a day one or day two pick? There's nothing opposite of Pickens. And yeah, you may not be as 11 personnel heavy under Arthur Smith, but you need some weapons for these quarterbacks. So I think it's still a pretty clear need.
I do as well, too. Van Jefferson and, why can't I think of his name?
Quez Watkins.
Quez Watkins. Those guys are, I mean, That's not enough there, and you still wait to really know what Calvin Austin is and isn't at this point, you know. So that to me, they need to come out of the first. Feels like the first three picks of this draft with a wide receiver.
And I expect them to. I think day two will be their sweet spot. Maybe round two. Maybe at 84 in round three. Dryha says, would you like Adonai Mitchell at 20? I really liked him. I worry about just kind of the consistency, kind of feels a bit unrefined and big play guy. I just wonder about, you know, you getting the consistent guy. Pittsburgh's had some frustrations looking for consistency at wide receiver.
Yeah, I worry about the fallout if you did go wide receiver positionally in the first round. You know, how it shakes things up with some of your other needs there. I mean, it's not totally unthinkable, I guess, overall. And look, I've enjoyed watching him.
Yeah, there's certainly a fun guy. I think him like Brian Thomas are cut similar cloths in terms of physically where they're at and where they have to grow and improve and refine their game. But yeah, Pittsburgh's done their homework on Mitchell and maybe one of those sleeper names there. All right, last couple of questions here. Let's see, what else do we have? Chelsea Durham, I would love to watch the draft with you guys. Appreciate that. It's us just staring at our screens, typing away most of the time. But appreciate that.
You're not missing anything, Chelsea.
And then Hunter Williams, have you looked at Josh Cephas or DeCorian Clark from UTSA? I wrote the report on Josh Cephas, was not super high on him, did not give him a draftable grade. I know he was productive this past year for the Roadrunners. I didn't see great separation, the speed of some off-field stuff. We got in that car accident, I think that DWI, whatever it was, a couple years back. So he'll either be drafted or I think more likely undrafted free agent, but I was not really big on his tape overall. Have not done any work on Clark, Hunter.
Yeah, I watched just a couple of his college games being out here, out west and all. You know, I know who he is, but I haven't deep dived him at all.
Patrick Donovan is tackle, as big a need as it made out to be. I just want to move Broderick Jones over. I mean, yeah, you could run it back with Moore and Jones, and you can live with that, but I want to do more than just live when it comes to my first-round pick last year.
Yeah, the only, once again, if you didn't address it early, you know, if you could get a guy like Fisher or Rosengarten, how quick and how good would they be? You know, could you fast track them enough to get them in over there at on the right side and get Jones shifted over? You know, that would be the question there.
Bruce Myers, could they use a future pick to get back into the second round to get a receiver and a center? Sure, they could. I mean, they've given up some capital, sixth round pick in that Fields deal. They've gotten some other stuff back. So, yeah, nothing says that you can't do that. But usually you're giving up a little higher pick to give that future capital for a team for next year. All right, and then I think we have one from Dave D. One last one. We'll finish things out. Ran a little long today, but our last one before the draft. Wanted to get to as many questions as possible. He says that Pearsall and Roman Wilson in round two seem like good plug-and-play guys, too. More of a comment than a question. But, yeah, I think certainly those are options in round two. Roman Wilson, especially at 51, could be in play for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, Pearsall, too.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll go a little bit higher. But if he's there at 51, strong contention, he'll be the pick. Really, really quickly, Jason Williams, why do you think a team fires a strength and conditioning coach? I don't know if Pastor got fired. Maybe he did. I don't know. Could be a variety of things, just program, you know, results. I don't have a lot of strength and conditioning insight there for you there, Jason.
Yeah,
but something
I don't either. That's above my pay grade there.
Probably just more structural and just results-oriented as well. Do I think DeGene will be there at 20? Yeah, I think Cooper DeGene will be on the board at 20. Actually, it's funny. The odds makers have his over-under right at 20.5, which I thought was interesting. And Mason McCormick, Mike asked about that, brought in for a visit. What do we know about McCormick? What, Premier League guard? Had a really good testing. Maybe he plays some center as well. Kind of a smaller school, athletic, zone scheme type of player. All right.
Who did a profile on him?
Was that Ross? I know I didn't. I think I wrote in the article who wrote the report. I think it was, it was Joe Clark. Joe Clark did the.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was one of the early ones too, I think.
Yeah,
right?
It was a while back. He was a Shrine Bowl guy. I know that Joe liked him at the Shrine Bowl. So that's the story on Mason McCormick. All right, we will wrap things up. We have an archived version of this on the site in a little bit. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel. Again, reminder, ton of draft coverage on the site for you guys, before, during, after the draft. My Walk the Mock will be this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Come hang out with me and help me draft. You guys are my scouts, and our next live stream will be post-draft. I guess that'll be Monday after the 2024 NFL Draft. So we'll get some quick reaction to that. Dave, as always, thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me. We got a lot of midnight oil to be burned here coming up here pretty soon with the draft coming up. So a lot of stuff, content, obviously videos. I'm sure you'll have some Alex videos mixed in along the way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, is Walk the Mock stuff. But look, it means a lot for y'all to show up for these things. We appreciate it. Hopefully, we entertained you tonight. And peace and love.
And also, if you guys like kicker scouting reports, there'll be one coming from me soon on Joshua Cardi from Stanford. I know Pittsburgh does not need a kicker, but that's the one position we have not done a profile on this year. We've done long snappers and punters and fullbacks and everything else, but I wanted to do at least one kicker. And so if you want to nerd out about special teams,